Welcome to On DOD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, Jared Serbu.
5 minutes past the hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jared Serbu, and this is On DOD. We're at the Pentagon today with Robert Hale, who is the Undersecretary of Defense, the Comptroller, and CFO for DOD. We're going to talk mostly today about DOD's path to getting its books in a state where they can pass muster with auditors. There's a statutory deadline in place, 2017, put there by the 2010 Defense Authorization Act, and an even tighter deadline now for a partial audit, just announced recently by the Secretary of Defense. Mr. Hale's office is leading the charge toward both those deadlines, and Mr. Hale, very good of you to be with us today. Thanks.
Well, thank you for the chance to be here.
So, as I said, we're going to talk mostly about audit readiness today, but that's certainly not the only thing your office is responsible for. You want to give us a quick overview of your overall role in the department?
Well, I serve as the principal financial advisor to the Secretary of Defense, so we spend a lot of time on budgets. I'm in the process of putting together the budget plan for fiscal 13 through 17, hoping we get an appropriation soon from the Congress for fiscal 12. And, of course, in light of the recent failure of the Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction, we may also be sometime down the road looking at sequestration options as well. So that's the other major thing we do, also responsible for the care and feeding of about 50,000 people who do defense financial management around the world. And along with the service financial managers, we're trying to make sure they're properly trained and we have the right kind of people.
So the big news in the world of DOD audits, as I kind of alluded to lately, is obviously Secretary Panetta's recent announcement that he wants a partial DOD audit, or at least partial auditability by 2014. Why is that statement of budgetary resources the area the department has determined is the best place to lay down hard deadlines?
Well, I think the main reason is the usefulness of the information in the budget statement. We manage the Department of Defense based on budgets. We set our priorities during the budget process. We assess how well we're doing against major initiatives by looking at our budgets. We look for ways that we can hold down our spending during the budget process. So the statement of budgetary resources, as we improve the information and make it audit ready, will help our managers in some significant ways. I might add there's another significant aspect that Secretary Panetta referred to, and that is the counts and locations of our assets in the Department of Defense. Auditors call this existence and completeness. And that, too, is very important information to a warfighter who needs to know where the bombs are and the munitions, and to our managers who need to be sure that we really need those spare parts that we're ordering. So we're also focusing on condition and location and numbers of our assets.
Fair to say that you can't do a complete DOD audit without the SBR audit first?
Yes, I think it is a logical place to start in that sense, too. It's not all of the problem, but in terms of being audit ready, but it's a major portion of it, and again, I think the most important to our managers.
Yeah, and we should explain what the statement of budgetary resources is a little more precisely, what's included in it, and you know how big a piece of the overall audit pie it represents.
Well, it is essentially analogous to an income statement in a private company. It captures all of the money that's appropriated by Congress and what we do with it. It also captures transactions in and out of some major trust funds. We have them, for example, for retirement and some for portions of our military health initiatives. So it's a very important piece. The other major piece is the balance sheet and particularly the valuation of our assets. That information, the historical valuation of assets, is somewhat less useful to DOD managers, and therefore we think it makes sense to start with a statement of budgetary resources, and then when we've got that to an audit-ready state, move on.
In order to get that for DOD, each of the departments and defense agencies would have to be in a position where they can have their own clean SBR audit opinions first, right? The Army, though, just to take an example, they testified pretty recently they don't expect their SBR to be ready till 2015. So how much of a stretch is the new goal going to be? What are the components going to have to do to meet the accelerated schedule, and what are you doing to help them?
Well, it varies by the military department. I think the Navy is in probably relatively best shape. It had intended to assert audit readiness for the Statement of Budgetary Resources in fiscal year 14, so that's consistent with Secretary Panetta's goal. As you just said, the Army had in mind fiscal 15. They're going to have to move it up a year. That's probably reasonably doable. They're looking at activities they can accelerate, maybe some workarounds, but primarily, in their case, accelerations. The Air Force had intended to be audit ready in fiscal 17. They've got a more difficult problem. Their new financial system will not be in place in time for the 2014 goal, so they're going to have to look at workarounds, compensating controls using their existing systems, and I think they're still sorting out how to do it. And finally, there are 26 defense agencies that are just a little bit less than 20% of our appropriated budget. Almost all of them, certainly all the large ones, will also have to have auditable statements. And a few of them already do, but most don't, and they were intending also for 2017. So we are in a significant effort to work on the defense agencies. You asked what we'll do to help. I think there are a number of things that we can do to help. One will be to work with the so-called service providers, places like the Defense Finance and Accounting Service, for example, to make sure that they are fully engaged and DFAS is fully engaged, but also other service providers. We need to get this this effort outside of just the comptroller community or it won't work. We need our personnel folks. We certainly need our logistics and acquisition folks to be fully involved as well as others. So another thing that my office is doing is meeting with various players who have to feed in information and talking to them about what they need to ensure auditability. And finally, we need to look at some, I hope, modest added resources, both in terms of people and dollars, to accelerate this effort.
You mentioned the service providers. They're critical, right, to making sure that they are auditable and audited first before you can even get to the departments and agencies, right, or at least makes it a lot easier.
Yes. I mean, they control systems and information that are absolutely critical. The biggest one is the Defense Finance and Accounting Service. DFAS itself has had an auditable opinion on just DFAS for more than a decade now. But their role here is much, much broader. They control a number of systems. For example, the system that makes military payments. They control the system that makes civilian payments. They control the systems that make major vendor payments. All of those systems have to be assessed to be audit ready. They have to have proper controls in place. And so DFAS has a major role. DFAS also has the majority of the accountants in the Department of Defense, so they have a lot of the technical expertise that we need. And it's not just DFAS, Defense Contract Audit Agency, Defense Contract Management Agency in terms of contracting efforts, the Defense Logistics Agency, which has a lot of money, but also operates or maintains a number of our systems, and many other agencies need to participate. It's a widespread effort, or will have to be before we succeed.
I want to make sure I understand the distinction I think you just made. DFAS itself, its financial statements are auditable, but it owns a number of systems that are not?
Right. I mean, DFAS gets a certain amount of money from its customers. It can account for that money that it gets and it spends in an auditable fashion, and that has been the case for more than a decade. But they operate many of our major accounting systems and many of our major pay systems. And those systems aren't necessarily auditable, so that's got to be one of their major roles.
You've talked before about, as we turn to the services a little bit, the Marine Corps as a beachhead for the rest of the department as they go through the process of getting ready for an audit, at least on their Statement of Budgetary Resources. You want to give us an update on their progress?
They've made an enormous amount of progress. I think everybody agrees to that. And so I think the decision is being made now whether they try for what's called an out-of-cycle opinion, that is, do we continue working or do they and the auditors through maybe early spring in hopes that they can get at least a positive opinion on fiscal 11. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm hopeful that they'll make it. If they don't, they've certainly established or gotten close to a beachhead, to push my analogy, and as they move toward the fiscal 12 statement.
Why was that the choice? Why the Marine Corps and why their SBR as far as a place to start with the services?
Well, the SBR choice was the one I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. It's information most used to manage. I think the Marine Corps has some advantages. By far the smallest service, and you know we're trying to take this step by step. But frankly, it also is a function of their own management. They wanted to do this. They wanted to take that financial beachhead, as they've done so many in so many other ways for our country. And so they've been at it for some years. This certainly started before I got to this job, and I hope that I can be here when it is successfully concludes.
Take a quick break here, and we'll be back with Robert Hale, the DOD comptroller and CFO. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the success stories DOD has actually had. It's not all gloomy news on the audit front. We'll be back in just a minute. This is On DOD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serveau. Back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is On DOD. I'm Jared Serveau, and we're at the Pentagon today with Robert Hale, DOD's Chief Financial Officer and Comptroller. And we wanted to get a little bit into some of the positive steps DOD has been able to make on the audit front, even though there have been a lot of struggles. There's some success stories, several components. You mentioned DFAS is one of them, already have clean opinions. Talk about those, what they've done right, and what lessons the rest of the department either has or should take away from them. How are you making sure those lessons get out to everybody also?
Okay, well, just let me mention briefly some of the success stories. I mentioned DFAS, the Defense Contract Audit Agency, also has had a clean opinion in for a number of years. Defense Commissary Agency has one. The most recent entrant into those ranks is the Defense Information System Agency, DISA, which now has a clean opinion for all the statements related to its so-called working capital funds. A number of our trust funds have clean opinions, say, for handling retirement and portions of our military health system. If you added up all the money that are involved in the assets and money in these trust funds and agencies, you'd probably be two or three times the size of a typical federal agency. If we were a typical federal agency, we'd be done in dollar terms at least. But obviously, we've got a long way to go, and therefore learning lessons for success are important. I think an obvious one is management commitment. It's probably not coincidental that two of the defense agencies that have clean opinions, DFAS and the Defense Contract Audit Agency, report to me and to my predecessors, so they probably were some encouragement offered to them. But management commitment is key here, and the comptroller isn't good enough, although they are critically important. It needs to be the agency head, or at least a very senior leader, who takes this seriously and pushes for the resources and the changes and willingness to change. You need to change your business practices. You may need new financial systems. It's hard, especially when you're in the middle of fighting a war and trying to carry out day-to-day activities to defend our country, to change your bookkeeping system. And yet that has to happen if you're going to get clean opinions. There are a lot of technical things that we need to do better as well. But frankly, I think those are relatively easier. You know, we either have the expertise in-house or we can hire it to tell us how to do that. Somebody at the top has to be saying, go do it. And I think that's why it's so important, and now I'm getting ahead of it, and I'll come back to it, why Secretary Panetta's commitment to this is so important. As a chief executive officer, he can make things happen, and so I'm looking forward to exploiting what I see as a golden opportunity.
Hmm. One thing we haven't talked about yet, and we should, is why this is hard. You go up to Capitol Hill on a regular basis, and you get asked, why is this taking so long? Why does this deadline keep jumping around? Why is DOD a difficult organization to audit fundamentally?
Well, first there's our size and our geographic dispersion. Smaller agencies have a relatively easier. They can do a bit more if they have to by brute force. We do 140 million accounting transactions a year. We have about 5,000 locations, a million and a half or 1.4 million military personnel. And they're spread all around, including in Afghanistan and for a few months at least Iraq. So you can't do it by brute force. You have to have systems and processes in place. So big in dispersion is part of the problem. But it's more than that. Our financial controls aren't as good as they should be. They're good enough to get the money out there, and we know where we're spending the money. But they aren't good enough to pass audit. They're inconsistent sometimes between organizations, maybe between major commands, even base to base. That drives auditors nuts. I mean, they go to one place, they assess the controls, say, hey, these look pretty good. They go to another place, they're different. And so suddenly they're saying, well, I got to check everything now, and that's not feasible. And sometimes they're not strong enough. I mean, we just haven't paid attention to some things that auditors required. I'll give you a simple example. The Marine Corps, they went to some Marine Corps facilities. They had not purged people from the access roles for their financial systems. Well, the auditors say, wait a minute. I mean, this is an internal control problem because, you know, Bob Hales left the base, could come back, do bad things. That's easy. Some of them are much harder and much more technical. But so we need to improve our financial controls as well. If I was going to give a bottom line of why we haven't gotten further, it's probably consistency of management commitment. And in an organization of this size, you need commitment from the top, and it's got to be consistent over a substantial period of time in order to succeed and get the changes made. And frankly, that just hasn't happened over the past 17 years or so that we've been trying to do this.
Why is that? DOD's always had a CFO and comptroller before you. What?
But see, it's important that that's not good enough. I mean, it has to really be the most senior management because it's got to get outside the comptroller community. And even some of the, to be honest, some of the comptrollers have had varying reactions to the importance of audits. But I don't think it has been, it's certainly not on the concern list that we've seen from Secretary Panetta. I think he's the first chief executive officer who's expressed strong concern about audit readiness. I'm not being critical. Many of these other leaders did good things, and they were all real busy fighting the country's wars or trying to deter them. But we need that kind of commitment, and it's got to carry out over a period of time.
Previous attempts, I think there was a fairly concerted effort in the 90s, right? Why have past attempts not worked out? Have people taken the wrong approach? Is there, as you said, just the problem of inconsistent commitment or insufficient commitment?
Well, it's probably some of both. I think there has been inconsistent commitment. I also think that to some extent we did go down some wrong paths. We focused for a while in the past on trying to audit the valuations, historical valuations of our assets. Now, that's something very important to a private company because you calculate depreciation based on those valuations, and that shields you from taxes. You maintain the book value of the organization, which is certainly important for its viability and certainly important if you're ever going to sell it. But I don't pay taxes as a DOD CFO, and I'm not planning to sell the place. And so, frankly, that aspect of our financials is much less important to a government agency like DOD. It was hard to get people to spend time and money to do that. I think that we have taken a different path that has gotten this department together and by emphasizing the information we most use to manage, particularly the budgetary information. And I think everybody's pulling in the same direction now. All the services are working on their SBR and this existence and completeness, along with the defense agencies. So I'm hopeful that we are on a path to success.
Not to dwell too much on past failures, but I've also heard it said that when DOD's systems and processes were constructed, it was to meet a mission. It wasn't to meet generally accepted accounting principles. You think there's truth
to
that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, our systems, the older financial systems, did keep track of where we're spending the money in the categories that Congress appropriates, and we can do that now. They were built to do that, and they do it well. They weren't designed to meet audit needs. I mean, they didn't keep track. To convince an auditor that a payment is auditable, you're going to need an invoice. You're going to need some indication you got the goods and services and probably an indication of a contract that obligated you to make that payment. And then, of course, the payment has to match all those things. Our systems don't keep that kind of information. So in order to get it, you have to go out, sometimes manually pull documents. Well, remember I told you we do 140 million mm-hmm. transactions a year. There are a lot of documents out there. It's not feasible to do broadly. You have to have systems that are keeping it for you in a way that you can get at it. And that's one of the things our new financial systems will do. They also have better controls. They won't let you do some things that might render your statements unauditable. It frustrates our people as we're installing the systems, and they get used to doing a new way of business. But once they get there, we'll have a leg up on auditability, a major one.
Take one more quick break and come back. And when we do come back, I want to talk a little bit more about what you're doing as you go in and do some dry run audits to see what's working and what's not. We'll come back with Bob Hale, the DOD Comptroller and CFO here at the Pentagon. This is On DOD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jared Servian. Back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, I'm Jared Serbu. This is On DOD. We're at the Pentagon with Robert Hale, the DOD Comptroller and CFO. We're talking about DOD's path to audit readiness today. And 2017 is the deadline to be ready to pass a full audit. Aside from planning for that deadline, though, you're actually going in and doing some dry run audits to see what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong. Talk about the value of that and what you're learning so far.
Okay, you know, I don't think anybody gets up out of bed in the morning and say, boy, I got to come into work in 2011 to do something in 2017. It's just a long way off for most human beings. So I think it is very important that we have interim goals, and we've set a number of them. We've talked about one of the more important ones, the United States Marine Corps audit, but a number of others we have been attempting as well. For example, we recently completed and received an unqualified opinion on what's called appropriations received. It essentially says that when Congress appropriates money in a particular appropriation, we are giving it out to our services in a manner that exactly matches what Congress told us to do. It's certainly reassuring to me, because that's a law that we do that, and I think it should be reassuring to them. As I say, we got an unqualified opinion there on all three of the military departments. And we've tried a number of other, I'd call them pieces of the puzzle, to see how well we're doing. The Air Force, for example, has successfully completed an audit of what's known as funds balance with Treasury, essentially our checkbook with the Department of Treasury. Can we balance at an aggregate level to what Treasury says we have in the way of cash? The Army has begun to do and it's done the first phase of an audit of its new financial system, which it calls GFEBS, looking at whether the system is auditable. Now, it's designed to be, so I think that will pass. But also, is the way we're using it auditable? Are the feeder systems that are feeding in data auditable? And they'll continue doing those and expand their scope over the next few years. The Navy is, of course, Department of Navy, the Marine Corps has been a major one there, but they're in the midst of an audit of their military equipment. That's part of this existence in completeness. Do we know where our assets are and how many we have? So there are a number of pieces of the puzzle, and we'll continue to try to do that over the next couple of years. Although we'll focus more and more, I mean, all of the focus will now be on pieces of the puzzle that contribute to the Statement of Budgetary Resources in order to try to meet the 2014 goal. What we've learned, I think you asked.
Yeah.
Well, I've covered some of it before. One, we learned it's, well, first, the good news, we can do it, at least the pieces of the puzzle, and maybe the Marine Corps, when they succeed, I'll say, not if, will have shown that a small service at least can do it for the entire statement. There's sobering news, too. It's hard. Frankly, it's a lot harder than we thought. I think if you'd asked the Marine Corps 2 years ago, they said, like all good Marines, we're ready. We're going to take that beach. And they didn't have much doubt. It's taken them a lot longer, and it's been harder than we expected. Partly, we don't know. I mean, we haven't done this before. Most other federal agencies have. We have not, at least for things like the Statement of Budgetary Resources. So we're learning as we go and coming to understand just what auditors require, which, as I said, I don't think we understood. And I mentioned some of the other things, our big size, the fact that our financial controls aren't as strong as they should be and are more variable than an auditor is going to permit, as things we're learning and having to fix.
So it sounds like a lot of this has been sort of learning from failure as you go and learning what you have to do differently.
I suppose that's fair. I mean, you know, when you get the auditable statement, that's success. You're in the end zone. So I guess, yes, the learning is from failure. we get good advice. So we use independent public accountants or are doing it for the Marine Corps audit under the supervision of the DOD Inspector General. These people do this for a living, and they've been helpful, and they'll often say, that ain't going to make it, that process. But if you did it this way, that would be okay. And so I guess that's learning from failure, but we're certainly learning. We've learned an enormous amount from the Marine Corps audit. And I think, Will, from these other dry runs, as you've called them as well.
Yeah, and in that process that you just mentioned, using the outside audit firms, is that a new idea in DOD? And what's the reasoning there? Is that expertise not available within the department organically?
We have some, and we need to be sure that we have people with audit expertise who are government employees overseeing these projects. And I think for the most part we do. That said, there's a lot of very specific expertise here. I mean, auditing financial statements is certainly not a DOD core competency. And also I hope that this is a surge activity. We'll have to continue some of it for sure in order to maintain the audits. But there's a lot more work as you're actually getting to them. So I think this is an area where outsourcing makes a lot of sense, to go to the private sector, to people who've done this. People who've audited other federal agencies, they know what works, we don't, and make use of that expertise. So as I say, I'm quite comfortable with going to independent public accountants. They will work for the major statement audits, like the Statement of Budgetary Resources. They will work on contract to the Defense DOD Inspector General, and it will actually be the Inspector General that issues the opinion. But the independent public accountant will do much of the work and, frankly, also give us advice where they can as to what we have to do to get better.
You mentioned auditing financial statements is not a core competency or activity in DOD. Does it need to become a core activity in DOD, or is the long-term plan to continue to lean on outside expertise?
You know, I hope that we get to the point, well, I don't think it'll ever be a core competency of the department. I mean, our core competency is deterring wars and, if necessary, fighting them. And I would hope that we would get to the point where we know enough that we would be a lot less reliant on independent public accountants. That said, I suspect for the audits themselves, at least for the foreseeable future, we will continue to rely on these people. A very specialized set of skills. I mean, you need people who've done this. They've got to be accountants who are certified to do it. I would expect we'd continue to rely on them.
The House Armed Services Committee has this special panel that's focused entirely on DOD auditability. I know you've testified before them before. They had a hearing pretty recently where they brought in outside professional auditors, some of these guys that you've hired, actually, to talk about the DOD challenge. And one of the things one of the witnesses brought up was the view that in a decentralized organization like DOD, out in the field you have financial management folks who are accountable to, loyal to their own commanders, focused on getting the job done in a way that works locally for them, not necessarily feeling any obligation to or connection with the DOD comptroller. So it's hard to execute financial management policy in a uniform way across the department. You think there's truth to that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, they work for the commander in the field, and they should, I might add. I mean, their job is to provide financial management for that person. But what your question suggests is a critical point. It can't be just the comptroller responsibility. We can be the technical advisors, and we can provide leadership where we can. I'm certainly trying to do that. It has to be a command responsibility. That commander in the field has to hear from Secretary Panetta that this is important, and he or she needs to say to the comptroller, okay, what do I do in order to make this happen? And at that point, the comptroller will turn to, maybe they'll call us for advice. In many cases, they probably won't need to. Generally speaking, this stuff is basic blocking and tackling. I mean, it's keeping good records. It's making sure they're reconciled. It's making sure that data is in the financial system and not in somebody's spreadsheet, because the auditors aren't going to go for that. There are technical aspects to it, but for the most part, if commanders begin to feel this is important and to their success, then this is going to happen. Until they do, it probably won't, and that's one of the things we need to try to make happen, and one of the reasons that Secretary Panetta's commitment is so important. They'll listen to him. They'll sort of listen to me, but they'll listen to him a lot more.
Sure. Has that started to change? Can you sense any change out there
so.
In the commands?
We're not there yet, and I believe, and I've said this directly to Secretary Panetta, that my job is to exploit your commitment. He's a busy man, and there's limited time he's going to have to spend on this aspect. So I need to find ways to make use of his support, because it's real. I talk to him at staff meetings periodically, and I usually get a grandfatherly look and a, yes, good, keep doing that. I need to find ways that he can communicate to the commanders in the field and work through the chain of command, too. It doesn't, much of it won't come from him personally. By virtue of his commitment, we've seen the service secretaries and undersecretaries and the chiefs much more interested in this topic. They, too, can be critical in communicating to commanders. This has to be a command responsibility, or we will not succeed.
Take one more quick break here and come back with Robert Hale, DOD's comptroller and CFO here at the Pentagon. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is On DOD. I'm Jared Servin. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to On DOD. I'm Jared Serbu, and we're at the Pentagon today with Robert Hale, DOD's comptroller and CFO. In order to get to full auditability by 2017, you need a really good financial management workforce, right? Talk about some of the things that you're doing to get them up to speed, get them trained, get them to a place where they can demonstrate excellence in their field.
Well, first off, I think they are generally well-trained today, and I haven't said it directly, but I'll take this opportunity to say it. I think we're doing a lot of things right in the financial management community, and in particular, they are doing a lot of things right, managing one of the most complex financial organizations in the world and one that's at war, and meeting the needs of financial of our commanders. And when I ask them, they may tease me a bit about needing more money or whatever the issue of the moment is, but when they get serious, they're all appreciative of the fact they're getting good support. So I think the financial management community is well-trained and is doing a good job. That said, we don't have a framework in the financial community that says, okay, when you come in, here's the kind of things you need to do for training. And then when you're mid-grade, here's what you need to do, and senior people. Many people get that framework by talking to mentors, but we don't have one that cuts across the department or even in general through each of our military services. And I think we need that framework. We also need a mechanism for emphasizing certain kinds of training. Audit and accounting training is one of them. It's not the glory field. The glory field in this financial management is budget, because that gets the money for the commander. But if we're going to be audit ready and improve the way we do business, our people need training. So we have recommended to our components, and they're the ones that really will carry this out, that we institute a course-based certification program for defense financial managers, similar to the one that's in effect now and has been for some years in the acquisition community. And it would essentially say at certain points in your career, you should be taking the following courses. If you're in a certain job at the midpoint, you should be taking these courses. At senior points, you should be taking some other courses. And we'll use that framework to try to emphasize some areas of importance to the community. One of them is more analytic skills. As we get these new systems, we need our people to be more able to use them to tell commanders whether they're getting the most for their dollars, as opposed to doing reports, which is much of what we do today. And another one is accounting and audit, where we will begin to require some level of training, even for our entry-level people and our technicians, obviously for others a good deal more. And we are working closely with the services, and they have the real lead here. They have the organized, train, and equip function. We're working closely with them, as well as defense agencies, to identify jobs as to levels, because that will determine what kinds of courses are required, to begin to figure out what courses should be required, which is a daunting task, I mean, because there's a wide variety of things that people need to learn. So I'm hoping that we'll have a pilot in place, and that was one of Secretary Panetta's directions to me, to have a pilot of this in place, I hope, in each military department by next year, and that we'll move forward after that to move toward an overall course-based certification program.
You made the analogy to the acquisition training programs DOD has. Are you imagining something as established and institutionalized as DAU for the acquisition workforce?
No, probably not. I mean, we have a lot of courses already. There are schools in each military department that not one of them, the Defense Financial Management and Comptroller School is dedicated to financial management. Many of them teach other things as well, Syracuse, Navy Postgraduate School, there are a number of others. I don't envision trying to pull all those together into a defense financial management university. I do envision saying, you know, at a certain point in your career, you need to take maybe certain courses, perhaps in the Navy, from the Navy Postgraduate School or elsewhere, but not one school.
Gotcha. So you alluded a little bit to the new systems, beyond the workforce, beyond the plans, beyond the processes. How much of this depends on improving those financial management systems, and what's wrong with the old ones?
Well, we need improved systems to do this, and particularly perhaps to sustain it at a reasonable cost. And the old ones have strengths. As I've said, they allow us to know where we're spending money in the categories that Congress sets up. That's critically important. It's required by the law, and they do that well. But they don't maintain the information that you need for audit. And again, I mentioned briefly, you need certain kinds of information for each expenditure you make. You need an invoice that matches that expenditure. You need some sort of receiving report indicating you got the good or service, probably a contract that indicates you were committed to make that payment. That information isn't maintained routinely in our older systems. You've got to go out and get it by hand, and we're just too big to do that in any way that is economically feasible. So they don't do that. They also don't have strong enough internal controls. They let us do things that may get the job done, but they aren't consistent and therefore will not pass audit. The newer systems we're putting in will keep much of this information in an automated fashion, so you can sit at a keyboard and call up the invoice perhaps the receiving report, and it'll just make it vastly easier to audit. And they require much stricter financial controls. It frustrates our people as they're getting used to them. But once they are used to them, it will make us much more audit ready. So we need these systems. And, you know, they're in various states of deployment, but I think all of them are close to out of their infancy. Probably the Air Force has furthest to go. They're at least teenagers, and I'm hopeful within a few years they'll grow up to be productive adults and be fully deployed.
Building off a point you just made a little bit earlier, you've said before that the fact that DOD is not audit ready should not be interpreted as evidence that you don't know where the money's going and how the money's being spent. What's the difference between audit ready and where you are now?
Mm-hmm. Well, where we are now is that we know when Congress gives us a certain amount of money for weapons and track vehicles in the Army, and then they usually put a lot more limits on it than that. We can tell them whether we're spending that money in those areas. And some of our critics question that, and they're just wrong. And I would offer as evidence, if we're doing 140 million accounting transactions a year, and we were just kind of randomly assigning or even off by 10%, we'd have enormous problems. We'd be paying the wrong people. We'd have wholesale Anti-Deficiency Act violation. None of that's happening. And so I'm quite confident that we know where we're spending the money in the categories that the Congress tells us. But we don't have the right controls. Partly because of those controls, there's more rework than there needs to be. Mistakes are made, or at least we're not sufficiently precise, so the books don't balance. You got to do journal voucher special entries to make them balance. That takes extra time. You got to go research them. So if we improve these controls, we'll both be audit ready, and I think we can reduce some of our accounting and financial costs as well. So I'm a big fan of audit. I probably haven't said this, and I should, as we near the end here. There's a lot of reasons that we need to do audits. One's Leon Panetta, that pretty big reason for me. But the law, and I think we're all conscious of it, we are one of two federal agencies that's never had an auditable financial statement or a clean financial statement. And the other one, the Department of Homeland Security, I believe just got a qualified opinion, so they're getting
yes,
close.
They did.
The spotlight will show solely on us soon. We need better controls. I've talked about that. We need better business practices. But the big issue in my mind is public confidence in us as reasonable stewards of their funds. Even though I think we are reasonable stewards, we know where we're spending their money. People won't believe us if we can't pass an audit. And it's very important that we have the public's confidence if we're going to ask them to give us $600 to $700 billion a year of their money. So I think that's the most important reason why we need to move forward with becoming audit ready.
As we close out the interview here, I just wanted to ask, I mean, what do you need? What do you need from your leadership here? What could Congress do for you most at this point?
Well, one thing they could do is stabilize the budgetary environment. I've been working in and around defense budgets for more than 30 years. I have never seen a situation as chaotic as the one we face at the moment. Over the last year, we've gone through a major drill to shut down the Department of Defense, which culminated in fortunately not shutting it down. And that consumed enormous amounts of time and management attention because it's very detailed and far-reaching and had bad effects on our people. We went through a debt ceiling crisis where we're going to run out of cash, consume less time, but still some substantial amount. We were on a continuing resolution for almost 6 months during the last fiscal year. They're very difficult to manage, and they drain the time of the same people that need to be helping us keep better books. And now, of course, we're in this sequestration environment given the failure of the super committee. And that has the potential to drain enormous amounts of time if we are forced to plan for a sequester. So Congress could help me most of all by kind of getting together and doing things in a more orderly manner in terms of the budget. I also need from both my own leadership and Congress support, and that I'm getting, and certainly from the very top of the Department of Defense, and I appreciate Secretary Panetta's commitment very much. And many members of Congress are very supportive of this effort and are paying attention, and that's all very helpful.
Bob Hill, you've done a really great job explaining some complex issues today. Really appreciate you being on with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Bob Hale is the Undersecretary of Defense, Comptroller, and CFO for DOD here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You're listening to On DOD. Check us out on our website at federalnewsradio.com to hear a replay of this interview and any of our future shows.
You've been listening to On DOD with Federal News Radio DOD reporter Jared Serbu. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. On DOD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.